This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To Willard and Dibbs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Did the WNBA set the table for the NFL? That's coming up in a little bit. But we want to take your calls, 888-957-9570, on this front office question. And that is, over the next 3 years, which of the three front offices, Giants, Niners, Warriors, has the toughest job? You said Giants, and to me, and again, we weren't talking about it in terms of pressure or job loss or anything like that. Look, I acknowledge it's three very, very separate challenges, if you will, but to me, the runway for the San Francisco Giants, first of all, in baseball, that's the quirkiest of the three sports, so every year there will be teams that suddenly pop and have a good year, even though you're like, I didn't see that coming. I mean, hell, everybody hates Farhan Zaidi, ran him out of town. He had a year where they had the most wins they've ever had in the history of the organization. So is one of those years coming up soon? I don't know. That, to me, always feels so much more year to year, as opposed to the NBA or the NFL, where, to me, that's where you can have a better shot, at least, at real sustained success. And I picked the Warriors because the 49ers have a franchise quarterback who's 24, 25 years old. That should last for a little while. The Warriors have a franchise player, and he doesn't have that many games left. And so figuring out how to transition to something other than a rebuild, which Joe Lacob has said he will never do, I mean, that would be my pick for the toughest job.
Yeah, for me, he can say that they're not ever going to rebuild, but he also said we're not doing the lottery. And since he said that, they've been in the lottery once, and they didn't win the lottery, and they lost their pick because it was only top three or top four protected. So one season into the statement, and he's 0-1. So he can say we're not going to do a rebuild, and then you can get to the end of Steph and Draymond and Wiggins likely at the same time, and you could be looking at your roster, and you could say, you know what? We're going to rebuild because you have no other choice. I think what the Giants have to do is far more difficult because you do have to rebuild the farm, and we could talk about how good the farm is now, and you could take Eldridge out of it because he's not going to be on the farm very long, and you look at what else you have down there, and it feels like that rebuild is something that Buster Posey and his new regime is going to have to set about doing because The farm is not totally barren, but it's not very good, and your major league roster is not great either. And so I think that the job that Buster Posey has is far more difficult than what the Warriors are going to face, because I don't know if the Warriors, when they face that post-Steph, there's going to be a period most likely where you're going to have to take a year or two and step back and figure out how to rebuild the thing.
That's a fun question that just popped up on our Comcast business text line. Who has more games left, Steph Curry or Brock Purdy?
Steph Curry or Brock Purdy?
Who's got more games left?
Like available, or how many will they play?
Yeah, just how many more games? Well,
Steph has more games. Steph's got three seasons at 82. That's 246. And you're asking Brock, he's got 17 a year.
Yeah, but I guess you can answer this any way you want. I guess you could factor in respective health prediction on that. I mean, Steph Curry's not, I would imagine he's not going to play all the games.
No, but let's say he plays three more years, and that's 246, and we'll leave the playoffs out of it for now because we don't know if they'll make it. But if he has 246 regular season games available and he plays 200 of them, give him 200 of the 246, which is, that's probably a fair number. That would mean he plays 64 a year. He misses 18. So if he plays 200 games, that would mean Brock Purdy would have to play 12 more years to catch mm-hmm. him 200 games.
Which is not crazy.
It's not.
Yeah, 12 more years.
12, actually 11 more years plus yeah, whatever he does this
11
year.
11 and three quarters, yeah.
Right, and that's also assuming health for Brock Purdy.
Into his mid-30s, yes it is.
And it's assuming that he doesn't have another situation where he misses a bunch of games.
Yep. That's kind of a fun question.
It's very fun. Bobby, I still would take Steph, though.
Yeah, you're probably right. Bobby in Los Altos. Hey, Bobby, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking the call. I guess, real quick, I'm going to put Hans Christian Andersen on that Mount Hans.
That's
and maybe
fair.
That guy Hans. The guy Hans from Frozen, you know, the spoiler alert, the bad guy from Frozen. I think he even gets up there before Hans Zimmer. But I actually wanted to call and talk about Purdy. But real quickly, I think the Warriors have it the hardest, quite honestly, because, look, they were in the desert for 40 years. Then Curry, you know, a.k.a. Moses, brought them to the promised land. I just don't think the fan base is going to tolerate going back to the desert once he's gone. So I think they have it the hardest. But the reason I called is I went to run my take by you regarding Purdy before, you know, the game this weekend.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows the life, everyone's value as a human being changes game to game, right? So
true.
I basically hate listening when radio hosts and fans call in and say, Brock isn't worth 60 a year, he's only worth 35. Well, guess what? You know, during COVID, you know, lumber prices, what, tripled? Used cars doubled? Was it worth it? No. But if you wanted it, you had to pay for it. So the reason that I'm calling is because these first four games have been a blessing, I think, for Niners fans, in the sense that all the excuses or questions that you had about Brock Purdy, is he a, you know, does he need all of these tools? Is that what prompts him up and makes him great? You know, he needs McCaffrey, he needs Debo, blah, blah, blah. All these questions you had about whether he was the guy have been answered. So I've been very thankful. And I really feel like anyone that says he's not worth it after these four games, I don't know what they're looking at or what expectation they have to think that they could get Purdy on discount. So I'm very happy about that. And I think it's clear he is a franchise quarterback. He'll kind of be like a Brady, honestly, in the sense that he will be able to make receivers work, whoever they are. And I think he's proven that. The thing that upsets me the most is how amazing Purdy was during the Rams game, and he got cheated. Instead of us basically saying, hey, here's a $70 million check,
yep.
All we can think about that from that game is, oh, you know, special teams messed up, right? Defense messed up at the end. So we don't even recognize the brilliance of that game. And even last week, what did he throw? Three touchdowns in a row, right? Two that were called back by penalty. He finally got the score. This guy is a star. Any fool and clown that thinks that this guy is only worth 35, you're not going to get him, first of all. So quit saying that. And the questions have been answered. He is the franchise. He is the truth.
Bobby?
That's my take.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Agree 100%. And I remember Friday before the Ram game, and I got myself to a point where I literally said to you, I'm so excited for this football game because I feel like it's going to look a certain way, and that's going to be the final. That's it. Your Rubik's Cube is done. Your Rubik's Cube of reasons that Brock Purdy's not that good is done. It's done. You solved the puzzle. The last thing, the last berry to pick from the tree was go out there and look really, really good without your weapons. And Juwan Jennings went for 3 touchdowns and 179 yards. That's it. Case closed. Mic drop. We're done. I fully agree. You and I said it yesterday. We were going to be doing, and we still will, but this whole Brockster's millions, and we're going to like play with this every week, stock up, stock down, where's the contract going? I feel like these first 4 weeks, I don't even know really what there is to say. I don't know what there's left to say. Now, there will still be the people. I remember we got a text. I don't know if you saw this, Dibs. We got a text from one of them yesterday who said, because I made the reference to Brock pushing the ball downfield.
Yeah.
And someone texted and said, my God, if you think Brock Purdy is pushing the ball down the field, you're not watching the games. Okay, which one of us is not watching the games? Me or him? Because Brock Purdy threw for 288 yards on 15 completions. I'll do the math for you. An average completion last week for Brock Purdy was 19 yards. Average.
Right, right.
Not above average. That was just your run-of-the-mill completion last week, 19 yards.
All those and are created unequally because, like, that's a great metric. And if you watch the game, yes, he pushed the ball down the field.
Yeah,
and
the air yards are number one in the NFL.
He's number two in intended air yards per attempt, which is 10.4. So that's over 4 games. So if you want to talk about intended air yards,
last week he was number one.
When
yes.
he throws the football, what is the distance that the ball travels when he throws the football? He's second only to Anthony Richardson in intended air yards per pass attempt.
And that's because Anthony overthrows everybody.
Well, it's also because they're always losing and they have to throw it deep all the time. And he's not going to be able to throw the ball this week because he's not going to be playing. And you know, the Colts are going to be better off with Joe Flacco. And it looks like Taylor might be out too, but that's for later.
Taylor is definitely
in the
out.
Program. I think Richardson's out as well.
Richardson's a question mark. Taylor's definitely out. You know who's starting at running back for the Colts this weekend, don't you?
No.
Familiar name. Trey Sermon
okay.
will be starting for the Colts at running back.
I love it.
On Sunday against the Giants.
Go get it, Trey.
Go get him.
Go eat. I got to check my pick'em pool, and hopefully I'm going against Indy. And I can't imagine I would have backed Indy.
Why? They're playing the Jags.
The Jags are looking for a bounce back. The Jags aren't going to go 0-17.
You have to bounce before you can bounce back.
Well, you can't come back until you bounce back. That's the only way you come back.
I guess. You have to be somewhere before you can come back. They've never been there before.
Trevor Lawrence, number three in intended air yards per throw.
Overthrows everybody.
Well, yeah. And I don't know if they count the overthrow.
They don't.
As part of the intended air yards. But to the point about Brock Purdy and pushing the ball down the field, he was high on this list last year too.
Yep.
So, you know, you can disparage him in whatever way you want, but you have to actually look at the game and look at the facts before you go ahead and do that.
I mean, like, you feel this way, don't you? I think you do. I know I do. Like, I've left the train station of any discomfort in terms of what he makes next year. There's no discomfort. I don't care what, like, even 4 weeks ago, I know people were like, okay, yeah, good, but 60? Yeah. Like, I wouldn't even blink.
Yeah, whatever the market
whatever.
Bears.
Dak's making 60. You honestly think, and by the way, here's the conversation where I know people will try to undo their Rubik's Cube, and they'll try to act like there's something left to be said. Would he be good for another team? First of all, yes. Second of all, doesn't matter.
He'll never be on another team, hopefully.
Exactly. Not anytime soon. So that's such a weird thing to me. What would he look like on the Panthers? I don't know. Who cares? What would any of these guys look like on the Panthers? What would Jordan Love look like if he were on the Panthers?
Right.
Would he
not
be
great.
Good?
Yeah. No, like, not I great. Mean, My only hope for the offseason is that Parag Marate doesn't try to win the deal. Because that will ultimately cost you more money. And I'm looking at what other contracts are going to be up at the end of the year to see, you know, who might go up there and reset the market ahead of him. Because if you're smart, you sign him in March and you just get it done and you make him the market setter. And then you let somebody come out there and beat him if that's the way that's going to go.
Who else is coming up? Is anybody coming up?
You've got not a lot of huge names.
Yeah.
I'm seeing, Justin Fields. He won't get more.
No.
Andy Dalton. Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's going to be looking at a nice little paycheck. He's not going to reset the market.
Not even close. And it won't be a long-term deal for anyone either.
No, but he is going to get quite a nice increase.
What's he making this year for them?
Sam Darnold's making 10.
Oh, yeah, that'll go
up. 1 year and $10
million. That'll go up.
Other than that, you don't have a lot of big names. Garoppolo will be a free agent. Mason Rudolph, Brandon Allen, Tommy DeVito, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, none of the guys.
Shane Bouchel.
Well, no, I don't even know who
Felipe
that is.
Felipe Franks.
I mean, there's not someone named Felipe Franks.
He's on Carolina.
Okay.
Sam Hartman. There's some guys out there now.
You look around the league, and I think the guys, like the majority of the guys who are solidified in their position, yeah, they've been locked up. There's a couple names I'm looking at where I'm like, oh, it feels like they've been signed for a while. Are they coming up again soon? When did Jalen Hurts sign, and when is that deal up? What about Derek Carr? What about Matt Stafford? How long are those deals? Not that they would be deals that are longer or bigger than Brock Purdy. What I mean is,
Hurts is signed through 2028.
Okay.
And
what about Stafford and Carr?
Carr 2026, Stafford the same.
Okay. So you still got another year on those guys, plus they're aging. But if you start going through and you look at the Mahomes, the Herbert,
yep.
Obviously the Cousins, Jared Goff, Jordan Love.
Burrow is through 2029.
Burrow is done. Lamar Jackson is done. C.J. Stroud is still going to be on that rookie deal year three. Trevor Lawrence just got his deal. Tua got his. Josh Allen got his. Aaron Rodgers is 40. Dak got his.
Yeah, that's pretty much the list right there.
That's the only people who you would consider like, okay, top of the market, right? So you're right. I agree with you completely. Do it early. Get it done. Nobody, like, I don't even think there's going to be a lot of mystery about what it is. The only way that there's like an argument is if Brock comes in and they're like 70. I'm better than Dak, 70. And the Niners are like 60.5.
Exactly.
But that's not going to happen.
It really comes down to the guaranteed at signing, which is the actual guarantee. And Dak got 129. Dak got 4 and 240, which is 60 average annual. And he got 129 guaranteed at signing. 129 no matter what. So the no matter what number is 129, which is about 53% of the total deal. So that is where the negotiation will be, is what's going to be the actual guaranteed at signing. But I do think that Brock will come in at probably 4 years and, you know, 260, which would be 65 a year, or 4 and 250, which would be 62 and a half a year, somewhere in there.
And as a fan, my response is like, sure,
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly, whatever. Agreed.
I don't care. Like, yes, the answer is yes. You know what I mean? And I know there's still plenty of you out there who sort of don't feel that way. We're looking at one of them on the Comcast business text line right now. Slow your roll, everyone. He's not a franchise QB just yet. He's not Tom Brady yet. He's not a star yet. There's three sentences in there. One of them's correct. He's not Tom Brady. The other are incorrect, in my opinion. He's not a franchise QB yet. He's not a star yet. Yes, he is. Of course he is. Well, by any definition of those two terms, of course he is. And if you don't agree with me, then agree with Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Troy Aikman, Kurt Warner, Steve Young, whatever Hall of Fame quarterback you want to agree with, every single one of them says the same thing, and they're not saying it to be nice.
And the idea about he's not Tom Brady... Okay, he's not Tom Brady at the end of the story, but let's talk about, is he Tom Brady after this many games? And Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. Well, his team won the Super Bowl. If the 49ers would have won the Super Bowl, would we be thinking about Brock Purdy in a way where we could say that he's Tom Brady? Because Tom Brady, his first 2 years, regular season, 20 and 10, 6,600 yards, 46 TDs, 26 interceptions.
What are the same numbers for Brock?
He went 3-0 in the playoffs.
Yes.
His second year, he didn't make the playoffs. Brock Purdy doesn't have that many games yet, but he's 19-6, so he has five more games to go. He has 6,784 yards, already more yards already than Brady in 30.
Yep.
He's got more yards in five fewer games. He's got 49 touchdowns. Brady had 46 in five more games. Brady threw 26 picks. Brock has thrown 17.
Yeah.
Brock is 4-2 in the playoffs. 4-1 if you don't count Philly. I count Philly. So we'll call it 4-2 in the playoffs. No Super Bowl. Tom had one. His numbers in five fewer games.
Significantly better.
Significantly better. The only difference, and again, if I say Tom Brady, everyone skips to the end of Tom Brady's career, which is the greatest career in NFL history. I get that. But if you want to look at two seasons of Tom, 30 games versus 25 games of Brock, Brock so far is better than Tom Brady was, with the only exception being Tom's team won the Super Bowl.
They got a ring.
And you could argue that they won that Super Bowl not in spite of Tom, but that team, they won it because they were a very good team.
Didn't we do this one time? And I was like, I bet you Tom didn't even throw for 200 yards in that game. And he didn't.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
The 20-17 win over the Rams? The first Tom Brady Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What did he throw for? Buck 65? Down, lower.
Yeah.
150? 140?
145
yards.
16-27, buck 45.
Wow.
He ran for 3 yards.
That was back when he was fast.
Leading rusher Antoine Smith with 92.
Oh, I don't even remember that person.
Yeah.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. All right, so what do we do with all that? You're not saying he's better than Tom Brady.
No, I'm
saying...
What are you saying? I'm saying the start of his career is as good, if not better, than Tom Brady. And if you want to look at the history of the NFL since the merger, starting quarterbacks in their first 25 starts, he is the leader in a number of metrics. QB rating, and the 49ers put something out earlier in the week about 25 starts, comparing him to other quarterbacks,
yep,
all of whom are Hall of Famers, and he's better than all of them.
All of them.
Through 25 games.
Sure.
So all I'm saying is, through 25 games, what Brock Purdy has done is historic. And because it's that good, it takes the question of will they or won't they off the table. The question now becomes how much and how soon. How much are they going to pay him and how soon are they going to get this done?
Probably the day after the season ends.
Right.
I mean, honestly,
right.
I don't know when the whole window is. But yeah, like they already showed their hand. By Jed York talking
exactly
about it last year. They already showed their hand. Nobody in that organization has any questions left. That's just for everybody else. They don't have anybody, and you're allowed to. You're allowed to have questions about it. I think there's ism that's attached to every one of your questions. You know, when you say that it's still a small sample, it's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. You don't use this kind of a sample for anything else and make it small. There's nothing else in your life that you watch for 3 years and go, not sure yet. You don't look at Jaden Daniels right now and go, I'm not sure if he's good. You don't do that. He's played four games. He's played four football games. And actually, not even all of those are good. And I say that as someone who thinks he's fantastic. I thought he was going to be fantastic before the year started. And he is. But that one, to me, is getting to that point of a tell as well. Small sample. I mean, it's the third season. Nobody has the patience in sports to watch 3 years and go, I'm not sure. That doesn't exist. I would argue with any other player in sports, any sport. Do you watch something look phenomenal for 3 years and then come out and go, Let's not jump to conclusions.
I would look at C.J. Stroud as a perfect example because C.J. Stroud is earlier in his career than Brock Purdy is, but no one's talking about, well, I'm not sure about C.J. Stroud, and when his contract comes up, well, maybe $30 million for C.J. Stroud. No, we're losing our mind over C.J. Stroud, who's had a great start to his career.
He's a very good player.
He's got one playoff win, which is wonderful as a rookie. Brock's got four. His numbers don't even come close to comparing to Brock over the course of his career or this year. And yet, because where he was drafted, and maybe it's the athleticism that he shows, we're all in on C.J. Stroud, and we don't talk about a small sample with C.J. Stroud. And to an even greater point, you're going crazy losing your mind over Jaden Daniels.
Guys played him
4 games.
Yeah, I really like him, though.
But you are yet to say, well, you know, small sample.
No, yeah.
The jury's still out on Jaden Daniels.
But of course it is.
But we're all losing our minds over Jaden Daniels because we're expecting this.
Yes.
We didn't expect this from Brock Purdy.
It's also predictive. And I didn't, obviously, no one expected anything from Brock Purdy. But four games into Brock Purdy's career, if you go back to our shows, I wonder what that sounded like. And here's what I'll promise you. If you remember what that week sounded like, and I'm trying to remember the first four games, it was he comes in and beats Miami. Wasn't the next game when Tom Brady came and they defeated the Bucs?
Yep.
I feel like the game after that was the game he wasn't even going to play. Rib injury, Thursday night in Seattle.
Correct.
Goes out there, wins that one. What's game four?
Washington at home.
Okay.
37-20, and he was 15-22 for 234 against a Washington team that wasn't very good.
Whatever. But, like, at that point, at minimum, everybody who thought the season is over when Jimmy gets hurt, you had rebooted your thought. They had won all four games, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a minute, our playoff hopes are still completely on track. I wouldn't say, oh, we're done on, like, this is a great player, but you definitely thought the season was still alive. And I remember that's what we were talking about. Like, could the 49ers actually still be a Super Bowl contender with this kid? That was the conversation.
I do remember, though, part of the conversation was, well, I mean, game manager Dink and Dunk, great defense. Mm-hmm. They can win these types of games, but can he win a shootout?
Yeah.
Then he goes to Vegas the next weekend, and they play the Raiders, and they're down 24-14 in the third.
I was there.
And they scored, and a couple of field goals, and the Raiders answer, and the Niners score, and then the Raiders score, and it goes to overtime.
The defense was terrible in that
37-34.
Game.
So, remember we were checking boxes. Well, yes. Can he win a shootout?
Can he come from behind in the fourth quarter? Yes.
This was the third quarter,
Whatever. But
it was a shootout.
Yeah.
The point was, I mean, that was the point. And then it was, well, can he win a playoff game? When we checked that box,
yep.
Can he win a road playoff game? Well, they went to Philly and his arm got ripped off, and so
I guess he hasn't done that yet. I guess he hasn't won a playoff game on the road, right?
Right, because they beat
Dallas at home, and then last year two games at home, and then lost in the Super Bowl.
Jury's still out.
Yeah, you're right. My bad. We'll see. Maybe next year. Segment was brought to you by Safeway. Matt Barrows from 49ers camp joins us next. Are they questionable? Are they doubtful? Are they out? Are they in? We'll get to all that and more with Matty Barrows of The Athletic next on Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Fred Warner, questionable. And he practiced. George Kittle, questionable. And he practiced. There are others on the list. There are other names to throw out there. But those are the two we were waiting on. So that's, I don't know, that could only be considered good news, don't you think?
Yeah, and I'm reading the Shanahan right now, the transcript, and I'll give it to you as Kyle as we go to Matt Barrows. All right, injuries from the game and stuff. Yetur, Gross Matos will be out. Flanagan Fowles out and stuff. Conley doubtful. Cowan questionable. Kittle questionable. Warner questionable and stuff. Khalil Davis questionable, and Yadam questionable. Go ahead.
Okay.
Your questions and stuff.
Go ahead. Let's bring in Matt Barrows of The Athletic and get his rating on Dibs' impression of Kyle Shanahan. Matt, what do you think?
Dibs, full go. I give him the full go designation.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Matt. I try to focus on monotone and stuff, and the right amount of ums and stuff, and just a general displeasure with the whole process and stuff.
Actually, Matt, I would love to ask you that, and Matt Barrows joins us on the River Islands guest line. Is Kyle actually as annoyed with the whole media process as he often looks?
I don't think so. I got a laugh out of him today, which I consider a major achievement. Or he might have been laughing at his own comment. my issue with Shanahan is they bring us into an auditorium. Think about the word and what it literally means. And he gets up onto a riser, and he's in front at a lectern with a microphone. And I'm in the front row, and I still have trouble hearing him. And I realize that it's not an issue with the video and the audio, but for people inside the auditorium, we can hardly hear the guy when he's giving these press conferences.
It just comes across when I hear him and stuff that he's just like, he has to do it. And what does he do, like three or four a week? And today's the last one. And a lot of times there are questions that you guys ask that have to be asked, and they're all good questions, but a lot of times the answers that he gives are non-answers because it's either none of our business or he doesn't want to give out the information. So it's a certain amount of dancing, right, that has to be done between the reporters and the coach.
Yeah, and, during the season, I'd say 65% of the questions are injury questions or injury-related questions, like, okay, if this guy's not playing, who's the backup. And, you know, I think that gets tedious for the coach. I don't think he wants to talk about injuries. And, you know, that's what happens when you get into October and nearly all of your questions are going to be about injuries. They don't like to answer them in general. You know, especially when there's been a rash of them like there have been now.
So what is your sense on the questionable tag on Fred Warner and George Kittle, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to play. You know, Fred Warner is like death and taxes. I mean, he's that reliable. And the fact that he practiced today, I think, was a good sign, pointing to him practicing on Sunday. Or playing on Sunday. You know, the only kind of asterisk I would put there is that they've got this game coming up against Seattle in 4 days, and that's on a artificial surface. They're looking at these two games as sort of a pair. So, I mean, if there's any sort of question about Fred Warner being ready for this game against Arizona, I would think, like, maybe in a normal week, he would play, but it just adds another layer of hesitance, I think. If he's not going to be 100% for this game, but they think he would be 100% for Seattle, that could factor in. But, I mean, if you're asking me whether I think both of those guys are going to play, I'd say yes, I think both of those guys are going to play.
Does it change the calculus in that Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles is out and you are kind of running low on linebackers?
I mean, that's another layer to this. They did bring in Jalen Graham off of the Commanders' practice squad. So they have enough linebackers. I think if Warner didn't play in the game or if he had to come out of the game, we would see a lot of Tatum Bethune, who's one of the few rookies that we haven't seen a lot of so far this season. He's a seventh-round pick out of Florida State. He's their backup middle linebacker. So it would be another game in which a rookie plays a significant number of snaps.
Matt Barrows of The Athletic with us here, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Hey, Matt, can you, if it's at all possible, can you unpack any of the mystery surrounding Christian McCaffrey? I'm not asking for a return date, but like, each week, I feel like we're hearing multiple things. You know, it was only a week ago that they said, okay, we're going to test it, we're going to ramp up rehab, and then we don't really hear anything. What is going on? Like, what are they doing right now with Christian?
I think they are ramping up rehab, but this ramp that I'm describing is a very low grade. Okay. I mean, they're not going to rush him back, so I don't know what he's doing. He's not out there on a side field like a lot of the rehab guys are, so I can't tell you. But I think it's a very cautious kind of return to activity, might be the best way to put it. The first 2 weeks that he was on IR, he was supposed to do nothing, which is what, you know, a normal person is prescribed when he or she has Achilles tendonitis. That's the best treatment for it. Is just doing nothing and letting it rest and letting it heal. Christian McCaffrey is a guy that has trouble doing nothing. In fact, during his nothing period, he went to Germany to look into the Achilles tendonitis. So I think that was the first part of this process, the nothing. And now the second part is doing something. And then maybe 2 weeks from now, it's doing more. And really starting to kind of test it and see whether that pain has gone away.
And I know you guys asked him about the red zone ineffectiveness and Christian McCaffrey being a big part of that. When you watch these games, what are you seeing as the big reason, outside of not having one of your great weapons on the field, why do they struggle so much inside the deep red zone?
Well, I mean, you can't say, you know, aside from Christian McCaffrey, what's the problem? And that's a major part of it. In the two games against the Cardinals last year, he scored 7 touchdowns. It's a big, big Jeez. Missing piece, because not only what he does, but it's what the defense does in reaction to seeing Christian McCaffrey out there. It makes running the ball easier. There's a lot of different ramifications to having him in the backfield. So, but that's the major one. we asked the 49ers this week, and, you know, each person said something different, which, you know, to me means that, you know, there have been multiple mistakes when they've been in the red zone. Chris Foerster said he made bad play calls as far as the run game. They've missed blocks, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the fact of the matter is when you have a guy that scores a lot of red zone touchdowns and all of a sudden he's gone, you have to make amends for that. And the 49ers just haven't been able to do that to this point.
Matt Barrows, The Athletic, with us here, Willard and Dibs. Matt, how would you answer this question? Did the 49er defense last week, did they look better, or were they just playing the Patriots?
Yeah, I'm waiting on that one. The stats say that the defense is back and looks pretty good. They're getting good pressure from the edges. But I do think that the Patriots really kind of skewed it. Only four games so far, and one of them has been against a team that really has trouble protecting the passer and didn't really have a lot of options on offense. So I think the Cardinals will be a better test. I think the Seahawks will be a much better test to see where this defense really is. You know, I still think it's possible that John Lynch is going to have to go shopping for the second straight year at the same position. They just don't have a lot of bodies at defensive end. Yetur Gross-Matos is A, questionable for this game, and B, he's playing defensive tackle now too when he is healthy. So that's another defensive end that you really don't have at your disposal. Sort of the question mark in all this is Sam Okwuonu, number 91. He's been getting a few reps here and there, and he makes the most of them when he's in the game. I mean, he would be a great story if he is kind of forced to play extra snaps and he keeps delivering at the rate that he has been. And the 49ers very well may have a diamond in the rough in him. He's very, very new to the sport, didn't start playing until he was a senior in high school, but the early returns have been good. I mean, he's in the mix whenever he's in the game. So he'll be interesting to watch. He's going to get a lot of snaps Sunday against the Cardinals. That could be their saving grace. If it's not, or if they have more injuries at that spot, I would underline that as the one spot where they may be looking for help at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and you might get some help in the interior. Kalia Davis had his window opened, and the anticipation is that he gets moved up to the 53-man. Would you expect him to get in there and help to shore up the spot vacated by Javon Hargrave?
Yeah, he'll probably be activated before the game, and he'll probably play in the game. And you're right, Javon Hargrave and then Jordan Elliott is dealing with a knee issue. I mentioned Gross-Matos, so that's been a position that's been hit hard by injuries, and they could use him. So, yeah, he's going to get a lot of snaps. I don't know whether they're going to do the same thing that they did last week with Evan Anderson, raising him up. They've got to consider Trent Taylor as a practice squad addition for this game because Jacob Cowing, their punt returner, is dealing with a shoulder injury. I didn't see Jacob Cowing out there very much at all this week. So they need a good, steady punt returner. They do have Ronnie Bell as an option. Ronnie Bell was inactive last week. So that's a question that they're going to have to answer. There was one more. Oh, yeah, Chris Conley is doubtful for this game. So they do have a wide receiver / punt returner question that they're going to have to solve tomorrow when they make these pregame moves.
Matt, I think I know what you're going to say, but just so you know, we are running a recorder right now, and we will tape your answer. I would like to hear it for the recorder.
Oh, boy.
What do you think of rumors of Davante Adams to the 49ers?
Well, Davante Adams posted a black and white photo today of Edgar Allan Poe.
Uh-huh.
Who I remember as, because I went to University of Virginia, as University of Virginia's most famous dropout. Apparently, he drank too much as a student and never graduated from UVA. But he's most associated with a poem called The Raven.
Mm.
And you probably know that in the AFC North, there's a team called the Ravens. It seems to be where he might be heading, I would think. So yeah. I don't think that the 49ers are in the mix. They just have, all the spots are filled on their wide receiver card. Right. But I'm sure Devontae Adams would like to be in San Francisco.
Well, I mean, can we ask that from the reverse, which is there any frustration lingering from Kyle Shanahan and others with Brandon Ayuk?
I'm sure there is. One of the issues with Ayuk is, he had to have the warm-up period to get ready for the season, and, that was delayed by, what was it, two and a half weeks? As it turns out, they had the same offer on the table in mid-August as they did in late August, which is what he ultimately accepted. So you would think that kind of roll-up period would have been done faster had he signed back on, what was it, August 12 or 13. I forget what the date was. But, they've managed, despite that. And despite Debo Samuel missing a game and despite George Kittle missing a game, this is still a good passing offense to this point. So I don't think the frustration level is quite as high as people might think it is. John Lynch was on the radio today saying that any minute now we're going to have one of those Brandon Ayuk games from 2023. And if that does happen, then all of this will be water under the bridge, I think. But I just don't think that there's room for another high-profile, expensive veteran wideout.
Yeah, and his target percentage is about what it was last year as far as how many he's getting per game. So I keep telling Mark that this is the breakout game, and so far it hasn't really happened. They're expecting this game Sunday to be the hottest game on record down at Levi's. So have you decided your garments? I know the team was blocked from wearing white because they had to decide before the year, but are you going to be acting accordingly to try to stay cool in a day where it should be in the mid-90s?
Yes, I'm going to have a hand fan with me, a nice wide-brimmed hat.
Nice.
We're in the comfy, cozy, cushy press box, and I think I'm going to have like a light sweater up there because they put the AC on there pretty heavy. So I'm going to be dressing in layers, basically, is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And put the sunscreen on as a fellow diminutive bald guy. That sun can be oppressive now, man. I'm worried about you.
It's true. And I am on the field pregame, so I definitely will have the hat going pregame.
Matt, you want to weigh in on a fun question we were throwing out yesterday? Is Kyler Murray good?
ask me at 4:30 on Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
Be easier to answer that.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we have a call scheduled at that time, Matt?
We don't. Okay. He's good. He's an NFL quarterback, right?
Yes, he is. Good. He's got a job. It's a very good one. It pays a lot of money.
Yeah, it has vacillated from week to week with him. I'll grant you that. But there have been games this year where he's looked out of this world. So I think that he's got to adjust to his new guys. He's got a really prominent rookie there. I think that's going to take time. It's a different Cardinals team than what we've seen in the past with Cliff Kingsbury. It's not, 3 and 4 wide receivers all the time. It's more of a traditional offense, and they've got a good running back, and they've got a good tight end. And with the 49ers' issues at linebacker, that's how I see the Cardinals attacking the 49ers in this game.
And why haven't the Niners been able to stop the run against this team? I see that they went for 240 last year, and James Conner is a bowling ball of a back. Is it just scheme, or why have they struggled against the run in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that the Cardinals stick with. That's something that a lot of opponents don't do against the 49ers. They'll have success against them early in the game, and then they'll abandon it later, largely because the 49ers are pouring it on offense, and the opponent has to keep up. But if the Cardinals are able to keep it close, And with the issues that we've just talked about at linebacker and at defensive tackle, I mean, it's been a while since an opponent has had a 100-yard game against them. This is definitely one that, could do it. What I remember from last year's game is James Conner getting into a fist fight, throwing yes. punches at Talano Hufanga, who is known as like one of the nicest guys in the NFL, one of the nicest guys on the planet, I'll go so far as to say. So that always kind of stood out to me, and I wonder whether there's bad blood going into this game.
I saw you guys talking to Talanoa about that this week. What did he say?
You know, I talked to him about it last year after it happened because of what I just said. Just Talanoa Hufanga just seems like the, I mean, Dre Greenlaw? No, I get that. If you're going to throw hands at Dre Greenlaw, I totally understand. But Talanoa Hufanga, so it was a big mystery last year. And basically, Hufanga doesn't know why it was him, but he thought it was because they won basically, and they frustrated James Conner at points in the game. But that'll be a little subplot to watch.
Okay, we'll be watching. Some of us under a hat, some of us under a roof. Matt, good luck.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay,
appreciate it, Matt.
Matty Barrows, The Athletic, the only one left.
Yeah,
it's actually, I don't know why it's not called The Barrows. I told him that a couple of weeks ago, but he's still there and he's doing his thing.
He still got Brisby, and MT2 is still there. But yeah, a little bit of an evacuation sensation at the Athletic offices.
But
he brings up interesting questions about linebacker, and Tatum Bethune maybe gets a chance to be the Mike linebacker because Flanagan Fowles is out, and everybody wants Devondre Campbell not on the field, although last week, you didn't hear his name all week. He played 100% of the snaps last week, and maybe it's because New England's offense is poor, but it was a little bit of a get-right game for Campbell. He wasn't mentioned, and then on the other side, the whole idea about the punt returner.
Well,
you've got guys questionable. Trent Taylor may be elevated.
Sure.
We saw Juszczyk catch a punt and actually get about 10 yards as I was charting punts, and I don't think he's ever been happier. Then when he caught that punt deep and he got about 10 or 11 and he bounced up and he was smiling ear to ear. So there's going to be some different people on the field.
How do you answer this question? And by the way, we're here for your calls if you want to weigh in on this, because I do think this is the great mystery that gets answered on Sunday at 1. I know you earlier this week were kind of like, if you're a good team, you win this game. I'm not disagreeing with you, but if you want a definition, a definitive statement to come out of this game, we're going to find out if the 49er defense has got its screws tightened or not. So when I ask that, are the 49ers defensively okay, or were they just playing the Patriots? How do you answer that?
I think they're okay.
Okay.
I do think it takes time when you have a new coordinator. I think it takes time to get in sync with the coordinator, figuring out his calls, what you want to do with his calls, and how you're going to execute it. A big part of it, Mark, you have to be fair and look at New England and say their offense is not very good.
Yeah.
They were on their fourth left tackle in four games, and their center went out on the opening series of the game. So you had a freshie at left tackle, and you had a backup center who hasn't really hiked the ball at all. So their O-line was in tatters, and their running back fumbles a ton, and they have two good tight ends and no receiver. So, yeah, you have to take all of it with more than a grain of salt, a couple grains of salt. But what I saw is Okawanu eating, Givens making plays, Bosa was disruptive, Floyd did a couple things. I thought the front is starting to really make an impact. Could be different now because they have a very good tight end, Trey McBride. He's cleared the concussion protocol. Shout out my fantasy team. He's in the lineup.
Mm.
And if you don't have your best cover linebacker, Fred Warner, we don't know if he's playing or not.
He probably is.
Yeah, but he probably won't be 100%. Arizona can run it, and they have a good tight end who can exploit the middle of the field. So this will be a tougher test for this defense.
I'm nervous about it. Like, my gut is telling me they were just playing the Patriots. I'm not saying it's a bad defense. I just don't think that the screws are all tightened yet. And part of that is personnel. We forget, right? A week ago at this time, we're all screaming and yelling about, does Nick Sorensen know what he's doing? This is a brand new coach. He's never done this before. And I predicted this. I told you on...
You did?
I told you on Monday when they came in after the Rams loss. I go, we're going to come in here the very next week and everyone's going to have taken a deep breath and had a glass of water and they're going, oh, the defense is fine now because you're playing the Patriots. And that's what happened. And I don't know that means that they're not in better shape. I just know that they have played two home games against two teams that have a hard time from the AFC East moving the ball. And they looked good. And then they played two other games, and they did not look good. And this now falls somewhere in the middle. You're still at home. That's great. It's not like they're world beaters, but this is a different challenge. With Kyler Murray's athleticism, with the history that you just pointed out of their ability to run the ball, the way the Niners have looked stopping the run in recent games and even going back to the playoffs last year, I got a big eye on when the Cardinals get the ball at 1:06 on Sunday afternoon to see if this thing actually fully looks buttoned up or not. Because if you haven't noticed, this is your last quote-unquote, I don't think this really exists, this is your last warm-up, okay? Thursday night, Geno Smith and a great receiving core, followed by Patrick Mahomes, followed by Dak Prescott. This is it. This is your last screw tightener before you've got to, I would argue, hit another level. Or else people are going to start scoring 30 points on you.
Now you get Kansas City and a Dallas team that, for all its warts, they can score points. It's the one thing they can do. They got a very good receiver and a quarterback who's the highest paid per year in football. So you're right. And I don't even think that this is a warm-up. I think the New England game was your last warm-up because New England isn't very good.
You might be right.
And you look at an Arizona team that is fourth in football in yards per attempt on the ground, 5.3 per tote. And I know part of that is Calamari when he gets out, but James Conner's a real one, and he is a heavy, heavy load. And this offense, this defensive front is going to be tested. I do think you'll have Kalia Davis in there.
That's good.
And if you have Fred, that helps. And it's going to be a big game for Hufanga coming up and laying the lumber. It's going to have to be a heavy-hitting game to stop the run against Arizona.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We are heading full steam ahead into our final hour of the week. If you want to hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say at practice, you will hear that coming up next. Plus, let's take some calls on this. Niner defense, do they look good, or were they just playing the Patriots? 888-957-9570, the number. This is Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.